Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all feeling today, fellas?
I'm fucking agitated. No, I'm just kidding. What's up?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Let's get this shit started.
All right, man. Before we get started, we got a couple topics that are near and dear to us, but let's address some things real quick, man. First of all, this is our 19th episode. We just want to give everyone a heads up. After our 20th episode, we're going to take a one-week hiatus, take a break, and then we're going to come back with some new seasons, some new interviews, and some people that come on our episode. And, man, we're excited for the growth and everybody that's been along on the ride with us, man. We want to also address some of the negative things, man. We love the feedback from our fans, from everyone telling us whether they agree with us or disagree with us. Not only is our conversation helping us grow, but our feedback is also helping us grow. We just ask that everyone keep it respectful. If it's not respectful, we address it. That's really how we're going to stand on this, okay? We do want to hear your feedback. We do want to hear your topics. We do love what you guys have to say. Just make sure it's respectful. We're going to be respectful to you. All we ask is that in return. So let's get to it. On our first topic of today, man, we wanted to talk about some of the things that we were insecure about. I mean, obviously, as men, we talk about a lot of strengths and weaknesses and we're tough and things like that. But, you know, one of the things we don't really address really is what we're insecure about. A lot of women have no problem talking about their insecurities, whether it be physical features or their money or their relationships or whatever the case may be. But I just want to leave this out to the fellas, man. What are some one thing or some of the things that you personally can sit there and say, you know what, this is one of the things I'm insecure about, and it touches me.
So the thing that I'm probably most insecure about, and this may shock some people, is confidence, actually. I feel as if to a certain extent, it has stopped me from getting to where I should be and where I want to be in life, business-wise and even relationship-wise in some instincts. You know, it's just something that I'm my hardest critic. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think I overly get on myself, and which in turn beats my confidence down a little bit. And then I don't shoot my shot at getting that promotion at work or doing this or doing that. And so, I mean, for me, that's a big thing is sometimes I do suffer from lack of confidence.
Yeah. That's weird. I'd have never thought.
I didn't see that either. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like, is this something you've dealt with your whole life or?
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of it has to go, and we kind of talked about a little bit last week with growing up and some of the things that I heard when I was younger, you know, just based off of, you know, some things that were said to me by people that I loved, and I took those to heart. And after a while, you become brainwashed and you have to actually kind of unbrainwash yourself and be like, no, I am something. I am this. I am that. But sometimes that wins the battle over it. And I got to start that process all over again to get myself and my mental back to where it needs to go so I can take those next steps and I can do the things that I want to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. You had an issue with that, you know, growing up and just because of circumstances and this basically like conditioning, you know what I mean? Dealing with that. What about you, Mailman?
Shit, for me, I don't want to sound vain when I say this, but it's me and it's my personal to me is my looks. My aesthetics, like, you know, And I think a lot of it stemmed from, you know, being insecure about my looks from growing up when I got made fun of a lot about my hair, or, you know what I'm saying, or the darkness of my skin, of being so dark and darker than everyone around me and things like that. Like, you know what I'm saying, it caused me to have a lot of insecurities about my appearance, you know. And so I'm slowly, you know what I'm saying, working through my past traumas and trying to work through my insecurities about my, you know what I'm saying, physical, my looks and things, and realizing that, okay, these are things that, you know what I'm saying, I can't change. And if there is something that I can't change, then I will make that change. But I'm not finna go under the knife or no shit like that to try to make myself, you know what I'm saying, more physically appealing. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if anybody else has ever dealt with that, but that's, you know what I'm saying, like being made fun of about the color of your skin and your hair, you know what I mean? Like, that does something to you. And it was, you know, I'm being black and hearing it from other black people, you know what I'm saying? It's like, kind of fucks with you a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I didn't know that, because I've cracked on you a couple of times about your melanin overload. So I didn't melanin. Listen, I crack on it out of love, but I didn't know it was something you were insecure about, because I always joke with you too that during the summer we the same complexion. I don't know why. I never understood, like, oh,
I got made fun of, you know what I'm saying, about being dark, so dark, you know what I mean, about being so melanated. You know what I mean? Like, I had a choice in this shit. Do you know what I mean? I was in the womb telling my mama, hey, don't cook me too long. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or like, y'all cook me a little bit more, mama. I ain't dark enough yet. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny that, like, you know, that I feel sounds stupid, though, that I feel insecure about, you know what I'm saying, being darker, when there's literally people that go and spend money to darken their skin.
On the real though, that makes sense, because we all know, because we all three black men, that within the black community there are biases and there are separatism, basically, to where you ain't black enough if you a certain, if you too light, you not black enough. If you too dark, you too dark. So within our community, we separate each other based off of the color of, or how dark or how light our skin is. So I get what you're saying 100%. I got it the opposite way. There you go. Discriminate. That's the word I was looking for right there. You know, so I completely understand that. And I know how you probably got it from, you know, people your own color. So yeah. I get it.
I mean, yeah, I'm insecure about it, but I'm not even like, I don't even hide it. Like, one of the biggest insecurities I have is parenting. It's been one of my biggest kind of knocks as far as like being a father. Not necessarily of, like, oh, am I going to be okay as a father? I truly, truly don't think, I'm always critical of, like, oh, am I doing enough? Am I doing this wrong? I'm always second guessing myself. And I think, and a lot of that comes from, you have tons of family members and friends saying, well, you need to do it this way. Not friends, like, y'all good, you know what I mean? But like family members, like, well, you need to do it this way. You need to do it that way. And it doesn't help the fact that I'm a father with a daughter and there is no mother involved. You know what I mean? Everyone has an opinion about, and not a knock on women, but everyone has an opinion on, oh, your daughter's doing this. Are you doing her hair right? Are you talking to her about boys? Are you socializing with her? Are you helping her be confident? And it's just like, it does make you feel insecure about that, because you always, if you're second guessing me, I'm like, am I doing something wrong? Like, are you just second guessing me because I'm a guy, or because I'm actually doing something wrong? And my parents, God love them, they do the same thing too, and it doesn't help at all. And so, yeah, it sucks.
You can go ahead. No, man.
I was gonna say, would it be safe to say that insecurities can easily translate into doubt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, because when you think about it, if you're insecure, you know what I'm saying, about your physical attributes. You doubt your own beauty and doubt your own confidence, or if you're insecure in a relationship, you know what I'm saying, you're doubting that your partner is being truthful, or, you know what I'm saying, being truly monogamous with you. Like, is there a definite, you know, correlation between doubt and insecurity?
I think there can be in certain situations. Like I think it depends on how you look at it. Like with mine, I don't know if it's the doubt causes insecurity. It's more vice versa. So insecurity is caused doubt. Like, oh shit, maybe I'm not a good enough father. Maybe I'm not doing it right. Mm.
Yeah, they go hand in hand. But yours, I feel, has to do with the way society looks at mothers and fathers. Women are naturally more nurturing. So naturally, you think a woman will figure that out. Men are known more for what? Oh, we like to have fun and this. So they don't doubt that you have fun with your daughter. But when it comes time to nurture her, mm-hmm. that's when they say, well, he doesn't naturally have that, which in essence, men do have that. We may have to pull it out because it's a little deeper inside of us, but do have that.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that comes from that. Society-wise, a lot of people don't think a man can necessarily nurture a woman-to-be or a young lady. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what plays into what's going on with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, too. I remember seeing a TikTok, like, I don't know, a couple months ago. It was like, can...
Oh, Lord, hold on. Is you really about to make a point off of a goddamn TikTok?
Let me make my point, okay? Maybe. All right. We'll see. All right. It was basically this guy.
Look, I've been promoting. Hold on. I've been promoting and listening to understand. I ain't listening to shit, and I ain't understanding shit right now. You're going to talk about some goddamn TikTok. I'll tell you that right now.
Anyway, he can go to hell. Now, it was a TikTok, and this guy
ain't saying shit,
right? It was basically this video. This guy was saying, like, hey, listen, you know, single women raise men all the time. Can a single dad raise a woman? And he wanted to hear from the women, and it was so predominantly no. And that it shocked me. And that pissed me off. And I was like, I was going to bring the heat on there. And then I was like, nah, they wrong. Just bring it down. It's not about you. It's about some TikTok. Don't take it personal. But yeah, man, shit. I don't think all women view that way. But it made me feel like, it was like, damn, does that mean people that agree with this motherfucker? Fuck that. So
I missed the point.
You're not helping.
I'm sitting there waiting for it, and I'm quiet and I'm letting you talk, but I've completely missed the point.
It shocked me.
So where did it go?
The point is that it shocked me that was a sentiment that people actually agreed with, that men can't raise daughters to be women, but yet women can raise boys to be men. That frustrated the shit out of me.
But see, man, that's the thing that's based on a perception, though, like, you know what I mean? Because, you know, men are not women. So how can a man expect to raise a daughter to be a woman, when, which is clearly something that he's not, you know what I'm saying? But what he can do is instill good values in his daughter to help her become the best woman that she can be.
Oh, no, fuck that. There's bad moms out there raising good women. I could do good. I'm fine. Okay. That's what I'm saying. There's some bad mothers out there that's like, oh, I can raise a girl to be a mother, woman. Look, if you can do it, shit, I know I can. I got a job. I be talking to her about menstrual cycles and boys and how daddy gonna kill them all and all that. You know, just look.
I think they talking about, though, is like, are you concerned for her emotional well-being and her emotional state? Yeah. Are you being mindful of her emotional state to where to the point to where if you're saying something to her, you know what I'm saying? Are you thinking about it as in from a father's role of being the fun dad or the disciplinary, or, you know what I'm saying? Are you talking to her as in, hey, I want to you to receive this, you know what I'm saying, in a way that you are is not going to damage you emotionally?
And this, and let me, I'm going to word this to you in a way that this is why this pissed me off, right? Notice how you were able to pinpoint that, right? And you were able to see like, no. Yeah, you could be a dad, but are you doing it this way, right? Because that is what women need. That is what a girl needs to be a woman. I see that too, right? And that's right. What bugged me is because saying that a man can't raise a daughter or to be a girl to be a woman is basically saying that they aren't able to see that aspect of it. That
like men don't
like
have
men
emotions.
Don't pay, like we don't pay the fuck attention or something like that. That's right, what exactly. Pissed me off about it.
Right. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Whew. Shit. That was deep. All right. We're gonna take a quick break, man. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone. As a parent, we all want to set our kids up for success any way we can. And that includes teaching them the value of earning, saving, and investing money, even at an early age. So when Duke introduced Mailman and I to the Greenlight card, it became something we were very intrigued in. The Greenlight card is a prepaid debit card designed to teach your kids about the fundamentals of personal finance. Using this app and card, kids can earn money through chores, set saving goals, spend wisely, and even invest. As a parent, you can set flexible goals and receive real-time alerts while your child is monitoring their own balance, setting goals for themselves, and learning how to manage their money. The app gives you complete control over your child's money by allowing you to set spending limits at specific stores. Plus, it has unique features like a savings account that earns parent-paid interest and an investing platform where your kids can invest in real time with your permission. Duke's been using this for a while. And
green light!
Yeah, and Mailman and I are just signing up as well for our children because setting them up for success is important. And we want to invite all our listeners to do the same. So if you have children and this is interesting to you and this speaks to you, please go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Linktree page and find a Greenlight link and sign up. We're excited. We're excited to share this journey with you guys. And we also want to hear how it works out for you. So let us know.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a second segment, man. And this segment, this topic comes from the ladies, the group of women at the clinic, man. One of our listeners let us know that you guys wanted us to talk about a topic. So we're just going to bring it up, man. What is it like dating as a single dad? And so we're just going to talk about it and go ahead and address it, man. How do you fellas, obviously, and I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to our podcast, but none of us are single at the moment. So we all booed up. Even before that, man, what is it like dating as a single dad? Let's hear from you fellas, man.
You go ahead, News. You go first on this one. You more of a single dad, more so of a single dad than me and Duke are.
I'm more recently not single. Okay. So that's what you're saying.
Yes. You
okay.
Know what I'm
I get
like,
you.
You're closer to that, you know what I'm saying? Or been closer to that experience. Than yes. We have, so you go ahead and take off.
I think mine is unique, right? Because my wife passed away, and so typically you have exes that break up. I don't know why, but women think that you're supposed to be like enemies with your ex, and it can't be just like a mutual breakup or something like that, right? And so with this situation, it's awkward because mine was not mutual, but we celebrate my wife. You know what I mean? And so. Coming to date to the point where I was dating, it was hard to find women that was accepting of that. And I remember because of that, right? Because we celebrated my wife and things like that, I dated one woman that was he felt some type of way about my daughter, right? Because there was going to be a lot of conversations about my wife. You know what I mean? We were going to be open in our dialogue with it. And we were going to talk about it in a positive manner. And I remember she was afraid to meet my daughter because she was like, she's such a beautiful young lady and such a great person. And I just don't, it just makes me afraid of that dynamic. And I'm like, I get it. You know what I mean? It's not for everybody. It's not, for everyone that you walk into a house where pictures of your ex of the previous woman is still up on the walls. So, and then you guys still have positive memories of it. So it was really weird, you know, trying to date through that. And then it wasn't until the woman I'm with now where, and I think I mentioned this, I don't know if it came up, but where she came up and was like, hey, you don't got a lot of pictures up. I'm like, nah, I just don't have a bunch of pictures. If I have them, I just don't have them up in my house. They're like, you should have a bunch of pictures up, especially of your wife, because I think that's special. And I was like, I don't know if you will call it a red flag. It was like a green flag. I was like, this one's special. You know what I mean? This one's different from the others. So yeah, it's unique, man, because people are afraid to be parents, see your kids and things like that. And I think that's was my biggest issue with dating as a single dad, was that relationship with the kid and who you're dating. So what about you, fellas?
For me, it was just, you have to be careful. Just like anything, you got to be careful who you bring around your children. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that those people embody the same things that you embody. So when they're around your children, it's the same message still. It makes it easier on them. Obviously, make sure that this isn't just going to be somebody you're just going to have some fun with for a little bit and then y'all separate. There's no reason to bring your kids around anything like that if that's what you choose to do. You know, so for me, I had to date the person for a while and make sure that she had the qualities that I'm looking for that's going to work for me and my family, that she'll be able to adjust and become a part of our family and do the things that we and move forward with what we want to do as a collective group, as a unit. And then I slowly kind of put her in there so they can meet her and see how she interacts with them, see how they interact with her. You know, I sat down, talked to my to one of my children, my 11-year-old. To see how she felt about things and so on and so forth. I have a younger son that's 4. Those are the two that are mainly around my lady the most. And, you know, I just watched him to see how he would gravitate to her. And he did. I mean, he tells her that he loves her and everything at this point, you know. So he, you know, so that was my main thing. Just make sure that if I'm going to add this piece, that we still remain a cohesive unit and that my kids will accept her, because if they can't accept you, if my kids can't accept who I'm dating, I'm sorry, I can't date you. Because I mean, that's just no matter how much I may like you, or no matter how much of a spark I may think you have, if my kids don't like you, I cannot date you. They are my heart and my soul. They are the reason why I get up every day and do the things that I do. So there's no way I'm going to break my heart and my soul to deal with somebody that they can, that they do not like.
Facts.
Man, that's awesome. Dating for me as a father, I look at it, this is the approach that I take to it. I feel that I'm going to set this tone and set the standard for the type of men that my daughter is going to date. And the way that I treat her and the way she sees me treat her mom or another woman that I'm dealing with is how she's going to look at how men are supposed to treat her. So my first thought is to always make sure I'm putting my best foot forward. Meaning when I'm dating, I'm not just bringing, she's not going to see me, you know what I'm saying, with multiple women and think, because I don't want to think of that's an okay thing to do. So I'm not going to let her see me with multiple women. Secondly, I'm not going to, I have a rule. Where I'm wrong, I have to date a woman for at least a year before I bring her around my child. For one, I feel like, you know, within the first 6 months of dating somebody, you meet their representative. You know, that's they putting their best foot forward. They put, you know what I'm saying, they showing you the person that, you know what I'm saying, they want you to see. And then after 6 months, you start seeing that real person. That's when they let their guards down. That's when, you know what I'm saying, they start showing their true colors or who they really are. And I feel like, in my personal opinion, that a year's time, there's a long enough time for me to know whether or not, you know what I'm saying, this is somebody that I plan on, you know what I'm saying, being in my life, you know what I'm saying, for the long haul and not just, you know what I'm saying, a fling. And that's when I introduce her to my child. And then after that, it's just like Duke said, you know, then I got to see how well they get along. And if they don't get along, then it's just like Duke said, it's a no-go for me, you know what I mean? Because my daughter's happiness is just as important as mine. And like you said, no matter how much I like you, if my daughter don't, then I don't. You know what I mean? If my daughter don't feel comfortable around you, then I don't feel comfortable around you. You know what I mean? And that's just how it is for me. So that's how I approach dating as a single father. And one last thing. And it's also that dynamic of the mother of my child. You know, do I got, as they say, a crazy baby mama? You know what I mean? It's, you know what I mean? And you know, is she gonna be okay with the fact that, you know, me and my daughter's mom have a good co-parenting relationship? You know what I mean? Or is she gonna be jealous because of just for the simple fact that I'm having a conversation with the mother of my child? Like, so all those things have to come into play, you know, for me when it comes to dating.
Have you guys experienced any obstacles with that? I mean, obviously I don't got a baby mama, you know what I mean? And so I don't deal with that when it comes to dating. Like it's, you know, it's me. And so I don't have to deal with a co-parenting plan. Do you guys have issues or have you guys experienced any obstacles when it comes to that? Like dealing with baby mamas and co-parenting and having a new relationship?
Yeah, I haven't when it comes to me dating somebody else or anything like that. There's little things that got to be ironed out, you know, when someone's going to have the child or holidays and stuff like that. But as far as having a crazy baby mama or anything like that, when I'm trying to date somebody, no, I haven't had that in a long time. Maybe back in when I was in my 20s and when I first started out and had my first child. But since then, no.
Well, for my personal experience, like I've had to set boundaries, you know, and boundaries were set so that the person that I'm dating felt comfortable with the relationship because my daughter's mom liked to cross a lot of boundaries that she shouldn't. And I allowed that to happen. And by me allowing those not setting those boundaries, it caused problems later in my relationship and eventually kind of destroyed, you know, saying a couple of relationships. So it wasn't until I realized that I had to set boundaries with the mother of my daughter, you know, that I realized that, you know what I'm saying, it could cause problems. So I set those boundaries. And since I've set those boundaries, I haven't had any problems.
I think to answer the question, I mean, everyone's different, you know what I mean, as far as how their relationship is and what they see in a woman and things like that. Especially us three, but I think the consensus is the same, man. It's about the kids first, you know what I mean? That relationship's got to be right. You got to be with the right person that's okay with what you got going on and on the same page with you. And then after that, then we can talk about what we're working with. So I think that's great. Thank you for the ladies and gentlemen for that question at the doctor's office. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. We're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. A green light card. Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial. You want to hear it? Here you go. Green light. Because I use it and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching. Bam. There you go.
And that's the commercial. All right. Back to the show. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our third segment of the day.
On the next episode of Ratchet News. Let's get ready.
You sound like you're saying a machete or something.
Man. That was the longest I've ever heard in my life.
And actually, I want to say shout out to Carla, and you know who you are. I did it especially for you because I know
you're tripping. Carla, stop that. Like, no.
You're building bad habits, Carla.
you are creating a monster, Carla. that RO was long, boy.
Oh,
And then my attention
span. And this motherfucker had an arm up, was like rolling with it.
Hey, I'm trying to lie. Had so much gusto with it.
You ever have a car with a bag starter and you got like the car? That's how it was.
No, it's like the old days when you had to tap the gas. You know
what I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You popping that motherfucker.
Oh, God.
That would have felt like waiting on it, like you waiting on your car to start up. That motherfucker so long.
Gotta pay before it. Come on with it. Come on. You know what I'm
saying? Turn over.
Come on, crank for me, baby. Don't fail me.
All right. Let's get into this, man. I'm ratchet. All right, let's get into it, man. Our ratchet news of the day. South Carolina teacher arrested after students take marijuana gummies from a prize box in the classroom.
I'll be damned.
Okay. Yeah.
There's got to be more to it than that, right?
Oh, get ready. South Carolina teacher was arrested after a student allegedly found and took a pack of marijuana gummies from a classroom prize box, according to the local sheriff's office. Victoria Farsh Wise, 27, is charged with possession of a Schedule I drug. On September 23rd, the Lexington County Sheriff's Department launched an investigation after a report that a student at Rocky Creek Elementary School had taken a pack of marijuana edibles from a prize box in the teacher's classroom. The prize box was used to reward students.
Oh, shit.
The gummies, something extra special in that prize box.
The gummies are kind of marijuana edibles, a cannabis-based food product. Like, no one knew that. While they are available in other states and online, they are illegal in the state of South Carolina. They come in many forms, but the items in this case were candy. They're often packaged in wrappers and bags with logos and colors, yada, yada, yada. Basically, she accidentally mixed up the school candy with the edibles. And long story short, Lil Jemmy was walking on sunshine. So let's get into this, man. How y'all feel about this?
Wow. Hey, man, that's fucking insane. Like, hold on. I don't know if I heard you right. Like, they found it. She saw them, noticed that they had it, and tried to get it back. And they were like, hell no, I ain't getting you shit back.
No. Well, one of the students took and got it as from the prize box for, you know, being rewarded for class, took it home. And then the parents was like, hey, what is this? They was like, this is what I got from my teacher for being a good boy. And it was like, oh, no, give me this. And they called the cops. So,
oh, wow. My yeah. God. Yeah. Okay.
In fairness, let's clarify, no children ingested any of the THC in the lace
prize. Okay.
Well, mailman, you go ahead and take this because this might be your expertise. I ain't saying
this might be your expertise. I mean, like, I've recently, you know, given it up, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's get that out there right quick. True. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've recently given it up, you know. But in my day, you know what I'm saying? And this is one thing you got to understand about, you know what I'm saying, marijuana. There are health benefits to it. It's legal in some states and illegal in others, you know. And you know, when I say the health benefits, that did you guys know that there's actually a system in the body dedicated to cannabinoids or to cannabis?
No.
It's the endocannabinoid system. Mm-hmm. That's why marijuana stays in your system longer than any other drug.
Mm-hmm.
It always takes you at least 30 days to fully get marijuana out of your system, whereas harder drugs like cocaine and meth and heroin and opiates and things like that only take about 3 days to get out of your system.
Yeah.
Because the body doesn't really know what to do with it. Yeah, and
but,
so.
But we talking about kindergarten.
But I'm
I just want to say thank you for the PSA.
I just wanted to put that out there. You know what I'm saying? Now back to the topic. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck did it get in there? One, like, you know, see, you don't just mistakenly put your gum is just wrapped in the fucking, because I bought edibles from fucking dispensaries before, and them motherfuckers clearly say on the fucking packaging, you know what I'm saying, the strength, the dosage, you know what I'm saying, all this shit. So how the hell do you mistake those gummies for, you know what I'm saying, fucking, what's a popular fucking candy brand, you know what I'm saying, that sells
M&M's or something like that.
Sour Patch Kids. How the fuck did you know what I'm saying? Mistake them for the Sour Patch Kids. There's no fucking way. You know what I'm saying? So this bitch had to deliberately put them in there.
No. I was just about to say that. Yep. Nope. She put some shits in there. She wanted them little badass kids to sit their ass down. That's exactly what she was thinking.
Thank you. I'm telling you, that's what she was. It ain't just me. Goddamn it.
Yep.
That was deliberate like a motherfucker.
I'm telling you right now, when she put them bitches. When she put them bitches in that little prize box, she was like, fuck them kids.
News. You said it yourself.
I'm telling you.
Then he took it home. The parents saw it, took one look at it and was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was deliberate like a motherfucker. You ain't telling me shit.
Or, let me play devil's advocate. Or, he got two packs of edibles and was like, okay, I'm going to put my prize box together, finish one bag, then put the prize back together and was like, oh shit, I don't know what I do with my second bag until Johnny over here take him to his parents.
Oh my God, you say she fucking got so damn high she forgot where she put it in the prize box.
She could have. I don't know. I'm trying to play double.
And making the prize box and taking up prize too.
Oh,
one for me, one for you, two for me, one for you.
I know I told y'all this story, but one time a friend of mine got some edibles. I won't say where he got them from or who gave them to him, but he got some edibles and was like, hey, I'm just going to take these and I'm going to drive home. And now he lived two blocks away from me. Yeah, I told y'all, but I haven't told the listeners.
You said this on the episode before, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So he took the two blocks home and he called me after he got home. He said, why did it take me 45 minutes to drive two blocks? And he said he took one and he went to grab the wheel and became one with the steering wheel. And he was turning his whole body with the car in order to park. And I'm like, I don't know if you should have drove. Like, you like, you live two blocks away. It's a straight line. It's not like he had to go around some cul-de-sac or something. It's right there. Dude, I can see your house from my porch.
I remember you telling me this because I'm telling y'all about my same experience with that when I was doing landscaping and I had something that was melting in the car, the Whoppers. And I ended up eating all them suckers at one time when I thought they were like 100, you know what I'm saying, 100 milligrams in the whole bag, but that motherfucker was 100 milligrams for each one. So I had took like 600 milligrams of fucking THC and became one with the road, the car, and every damn thing on my way home. And you know how, like, because I remember saying, like, you know how when you playing a video game and you see people playing the video games and they doing a racing car game and they turn as they turn on the video game. Nigga, that's how I was when I was driving, like turning my whole body while I'm turning the fucking car. It was fucking crazy shit up. I don't know how I made home.
This motherfucker got so high, he was painting with all the colors of the wind, like Pocahontas.
Like, for real, DMJ, it was a spiritual experience.
To the teacher that got in trouble for this, I hope you don't get too much time. But you probably shouldn't be teaching kids. Let's just establish that. you should find another career. Preferably in a state where marijuana is legal, and just keep it pushing. You know what I mean? You know, oh God, can you imagine one of them kids getting high as hell in class and talking about, you ever notice how the B looks like boobs? And then all the kids got high as hell laughing.
Man, and you guys, y'all guys don't smoke, so y'all don't understand that edibles hit way harder than smoking. You know what I'm saying? That shit hit you way harder. Like, them edibles, she probably did forget she was fucking fixing them kids' fried if she ate them motherfuckers beforehand. She probably did, because them edibles kick in, and they don't kick in right away. That's the thing, too. You can pop one of them motherfuckers, and it might take 30 minutes before that bitch hits you.
So but when it hits you, Jimmy not it's gonna not that until third period.
Hey, he's going to knock his dick in the dirt. Hit him, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, that motherfucker. Hey, the edibles hit way hard, man. Like, I was watching a video somewhere where a woman gave one to her mom. And she like she waited 30 minutes and it hadn't kicked in yet. So she ate more. It was like she made some brownies or something like that. And with them brownies, like one brownie, one square of a brownie, you're only supposed to eat like a quarter of that. Mm-hmm. Mama ate the whole brownie, then went back for seconds.
Okay.
Next thing you know, she was in the hospital.
Okay. So I'm going to clarify something about this story. I stopped too early reading this because the next paragraph says, when the student took a pack of the edibles, Wise allegedly told the child to pick something else from the box. The student returned to the box and grabbed another pack of edibles. So Duke was right. She just wanted to get these damn kids high. It's one thing to actually put one pack, but when you, but here's the thing. You put two packs in there, you ain't even gonna check the box.
Right, knowing you was messing with them, you was eating them suckers when you was making it. Like, let me make sure. Like, my thing is, like, you at school, you in class, you took it for the prize box. You know what I'm saying? You know you messed with the. You like, you don't think to freaking make sure that you separate the freaking two. Like, I don't want to get these mixed up with the other.
She didn't give a fuck. She was like, fuck them kids.
She must be from Florida.
Telling you.
The kids must be stressing her the fuck out. I can't beat these motherfuckers either. Fuck that. Y'all, I'm going to sleep. My fifth period, all you bitches going to sleep. I'm going to have a free day.
Stupid.
And on that note, man, we're going to call it, man. Got anything you guys want to say?
You want to say something inspirational, Mel, man?
Fuck them
I
want to
say, no, I ain't gonna say no fuck them kids, man.
Cool.
I'm gonna say this podcast is about growth, right? And positivity. We all know that being insecure about things, you know, can adversely lead to problems later. So if you're finding yourself being insecure about something, work on that aspect of your life and try to, you know what I'm saying, deal with it and alleviate it. And know that it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take some time, but as long as you're working on your and you can beat it. Mm-hmm. That's all I can just say.
So on that same note, if there's somebody that, you know, bullied you when you were younger or made you feel a certain kind of way, make sure you find that person, you look them in the eye and you say, fuck you. Fuck your mama, fuck your daddy, and fuck all of your children. Goodbye, oh, and just walk away.
Yeah. What if it was your mama?
Well, you can still say that, but she's going to smack the shit out of you. Yeah, that's
true.
So that's up to you. You ask yourself, do you want to die?
Right.
There you go.
Try to get somebody fucked up.
Shit. I love our little conversations at the end.
I know, right? Mailman always trying to be like, listen, we trying to all go to heaven. And then Duke be like, fuck that. Fuck them kids. They needed the THC. Whatever.
I know, right?
Told you. That's what I'm saying.
Hey,
fuck them all.
Hey, fellas, listen, I love y'all. And I wish you guys nothing but success and happiness.
Yes, sir. Hey, you too.
Mm-hmm. And to all our listeners out there, y'all keep dreaming. Take care.